You're listening to Neon Jazz with Joe Domino.
They call you Beat Generation. You think you live as you choose. Oh, you Beat Generation. I think you headed for the blues. Now your lives don't have a meaning, though you're living up a storm. You do anything at all except conform. You don't have much ambition, and aimless and depressed. You think you're really with it, but you're missing all the best. You Beat Generation. You think you live as you choose. Oh, you Beat Generation. I think you're headed for the blues. It's too bad you waited to the blue.
How could you go wrong with the combination of Louis Pops Armstrong and a Beat Generation-themed hour of Neon Jazz? So here we are, Hepcats. That was Louis with the title song from the 1959 movie The Beat Generation. He appeared alongside Steve Cochran and Mamie Van Doren, along with Vampira and even the great Ray Anthony. This flick was a sensational interpretation of the beatnik culture of the Beat Generation. During this hour, we will examine the profound influence and impact the Beats had on jazz, cultivating interest in the form and how their blend of cool jived just right with the literary brilliance going down at the time. The post-World War II writers of the Beat Generation came to prominence in the 50s, which is well known as a roaring time for both bebop and the entire idiom of jazz. The rejection of received standards, innovations in style, experimentations with drugs and sex, an interest in Eastern religion, a rejection of materialism, and explicit portrayals of the human condition made them the fabric of lore that pervades to this day. The leader of the group and the cat that coined the term Beats is Jack Kerouac, and you will hear from him plenty as we go down that jazz road here to delve into the influence and a way of life. Welcome to a cooler Neon Jazz. This is your radio host, Joe Domino, coming to you from the town the Beats dug and drove through with radical abandon, right here in Kansas City, Missouri, giving you a wayward blend of precise improv, with music from cats like Dizzy Gillespie, Sonny Rollins, Babs Gonzalez, and many more. Our next artist on this Beat Hour is actor and announcer Don Morrow, backed by jazz with a little piece he called Like Rumpelstiltskin off the Tales of the Beat Generation.
Once upon a time, there lived in a small kingdom a poor cat who was blessed with a beautiful mouse for a daughter. Being a proud pauper of a pauper, he spread wild tales around town, one of which was, to wit,
Wouldst be informed that my chick can spin grade A gold out of straw in three speeds, forsooth.
Now, this obviously was not the coolest word to start blowing high, because right down the pike, forsooth, but not too forsooth, lived a greedy sovereign. And speaking of sovereigns, he dug the gold ones like they were going out of mint. So when he got hip that a local chick was turning out the real stuff, off went the royal 3-liter pumpkin, and back to his pad came the poor, proud pauper's mouse.
Honey, if you ain't got a bucket of gold for me in the AM, it's a lime pit flip for free.
Now the poor little chick just sat there, 'cause she knew not from whence to commence. Then, quick, like from nowhere, there stood a wild-looking little coot, all done up in a knee-length sweatshirt, sporting a red and green beard.
Hi, Chicorino. What'll you flip me if I knock off this gold jazz on your crazy Wheel of Fortune?
How about my necklace? It's genuine houndstooth set in old liver pill capsules. It's all I have.
Crazy. It's a deal.
Well, with that, he started spinning that old straw magic that I love so well in the wildest bongo beat you ever heard. Man, he spun him a bucket of gold before the second chorus. 10 bars north and 10 bars south, and the sun came up with the king, which was no problem for this cat, because he spent most of his life in after-hours joints anyway. Man, when he saw that Fort Knox nickel basket, there was just no stopping him.
One more time, Blue Eyes, and I'll make you queen. But no gold, no head.
Well, when the short kook hit the scene again, our little chick was really in tears. What's more, she was fresh out of trinkets. But quick-like, the sweatshirt kid cut in with a deal.
Hi, Chicorino. The gold I'll spin, the king you'll win. Just give to me your firstborn kin.
Well, let's face it, this was better than the Frankenstein bit. So she gave the nod, and the gold flowed. About a year thence, there came the patter of a little character in a 3-cornered velvet suit, happily crawling around the royal patio. Now, our little chick had forgot all about the little coot, but all he forgot was to clean his sweatshirt.
Hi, Queen Areno. A deal's a deal. So, hit me with the kid.
Well, she couldn't dance to this jazz nohow. So, the waterworks went into high gear.
Okay, already. You're bugging me. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'll flip big and give you one more chance. Dig my square handle and the kid is yours. Like, forever.
Now, kook names don't flow quickly, especially to a poor, proud pauper's daughter. So she got with the forest, hoping to find a friendly witch with a bona fide kook book. All of a sudden, like, there in the cool of nowhere was that little kook hoofing and wailing round a kook-sized fire.
Rumpelstiltskin is my name. No other kook is called the same. Queenie's bought my little game. But she won't guess, crazy dame, that Rumpelstiltskin is my name.
Well, Charlie, our little chick had found her reality. And when the little kook fell in next day, the fix was on.
Is your name Grindelstein?
No.
Is it Raskeller?
Wild, but no.
Is it Nabenschmidt?
Crazy, but no.
Oh, my. It couldn't be Rumpelstiltskin.
Man, that gone little kook got so mad, he stretched out his skin, turned into a bongo drum, and beat himself to death. And incidentally, this story is over and way out.
cool is a word that seems to change meaning every time it's used.
Yeah, it does. Cool it means stop it. You know, or change the subject or split, or it's a warning. All those things and just that one thing. It's cool with me means okay. You know, it's okay. It's cool means it's all right or it's not dangerous.
In between those two tunes was Mr. Del Close giving you a definition of cool. And that was one roaringly cool daddy-o, tenor saxophonist and bandleader Charlie Ventura with the tune Ha. This tune, along with the host of them on this episode, are from the Beat Generation box set, a glittering glow of both literary and music triumphs. The writers in this collection match the musicians with their free-flowing improvisational play, or as poet Allen Ginsberg put it, spontaneous bop prosody, echoing with radical innovations from musicians like Charlie Yardbird Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. All of this adding in an in-orbit look at quality material. Let's get back to it, boss. Here's the crazy, talented Steve Allen on the keys on The Plymouth Show, circa 1959, with one of the beats of the hour, Jack Kerouac.
In the early 1950s, the nation recognized in its midst a social movement called the Beat Generation. A novel titled On the Road became a bestseller, and its author, Jack Kerouac, became a celebrity, partly because he'd written a powerful and successful book, partly because he seemed to be the embodiment of this new generation. So here he is, Jack Kerouac. Jack told me a little earlier he was nervous. Are you nervous now? No? Good. Jack, got a couple of square questions, but I think the answer would be interesting. How long did it take you to write On the Road?
3 weeks.
How many?
3 weeks.
3 weeks? Jeez, that's amazing. How long were you on the road itself?
7 years.
7 years. Yeah, I was on the road once for 3 weeks and it took me 7 years to write about it. Or the other way around. I've heard that you write so fast that you don't like to use regular typing paper, but instead you prefer to use one big long roll of paper. Is that true?
Yeah. When I write narrative novels, I don't want to change my narrative thought. I keep going.
You don't want to change the pages at the end, you mean?
100-foot-long teletype paper.
Oh, teletype rolls. Where do you get them?
Huh?
Where do you get the paper?
Yeah, teletype paper. For narrative, it's good.
Yeah, I got the most hard question of all, but everybody always puts it to you, I'm sure. I mean, because everybody always puts it to you. How would you define the word beat? I don't mean why not time. I mean, really, is
there... Well, sympathetic. A lot of people have asked me why did I write that book or any book. All the stories I wrote were true because I believed in what I saw. I was traveling west one time at the junction of the state line of Colorado, its arid western one, and the state line of poor Utah. I saw in the clouds huge and massed above the fiery golden desert of Evenfall, a great image of God with forefinger pointed straight at me through halos and rolls and gold folds that were like the existence of a gleaming spear in his right hand, which saith, come on, boy, go thou across the ground. Go moan for man. Go moan. Go groan. Go groan alone. Go roll your bones alone. Go thou and be little beneath my sight. Go thou and be minute as seed in the pod. Go thou, die hence. And this world report you well and truly. Anyway, I wrote the book because we're all gonna die. In the loneliness of my life, my father dead, my brother dead, my mother far away, my sister and my wife far away. Nothing here but my own tragic hands that once were guarded by a world, a sweet attention, that now are left to guide and disappear their own way into the common dark of all our death. Sleeping in me raw bed alone and stupid, with just this one pride and consolation. My heart broke in a general despair and opened up inwards to the Lord. I made a supplication in this dream. So in the last page of On the Road, I describe how the hero, Dean Moriarty, has come to see me all the way from the West Coast just for a day or two. We've just been back and forth across the country several times in cars, and now our adventures are over. We're still great friends, but we have to go into later phases of our lives. So there he goes, Dean Moriarty, ragged in a moth-eaten overcoat he brought specially for the freezing temperatures of the East. Walking off alone, and last I saw him, he rounded the corner of 7th Avenue, eyes on the street ahead, and bent to it again. Gone. So, in America, when the sun goes down, and I sit on the old broken-down river pier watching the long, long skies over New Jersey, and sense all that raw land that rolls in one unbelievable huge bulge over to the West Coast, and all that road going, and all the people dreaming in the immensity of it. In an hour, I know by now that children must be crying in the land where they let the children cry. And tonight the stars will be out, and don't you know that God is Pooh Bear? The evening star must be drooping and shedding her sparkler dims on the prairie, which is just before the coming of complete night that blesses the earth, darkens all the rivers, cups the peaks, and folds the final shore in. Nobody, nobody knows what's going to happen to anybody besides the forlorn rags of growing old. Think of Dean Moriarty, or even think of old Dean Moriarty, the father we never found. Think of Dean Moriarty, I think of Dean Moriarty.
This is Stanton Kessler, Kansas City trumpet player, welcoming you to Neon Jazz with Joe Domino.
Well, there's diamonds on my windshield and these tears from heaven. Well, I'm pulling into town on the interstate. I got a steel train in the rain, and the wind bites my cheek through the wing, and it's these late nights and this freeway flying that always makes me sing. There's a duster trying to change my tune. He's pulling up fast on the right, rolling restlessly by a 24-hour moon. And
a Wisconsin hiker with a cue ball head. He's wishing he's home in a Wisconsin bed. But there's 15 feet of snow in the east, colder than a well digger's ass. And it's colder than a well digger's ass. Oceanside, it ends the ride with San Clemente coming up. Sunday desperados slip by and cruise with a dryback. And the orange driving, the neon billing, and the theaters filling to the brim with slave girls in a hot spur and bucket full of sin. Metropolitan area with interchanging connections, flyby nights from Riverside and out-of-state plates running a little late. But the sailors jockey for the fast lane, so 101 don't miss it. There's rolling hills and concrete fields and the broken lines on your mind. The eights go east and the fives go north, and the merging nexus back and forth. You see your sign cross the line, signaling with a blink. And the radio's gone off the air, and it gives you time to think. And you hear the rumble as you fumble for a cigarette. And blazing through this midnight jungle, remember someone that you met in one more block. The engine talks, whispers home at last. It whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. And the diamonds on my windshield, and these tears from heaven. Well, I'm pulling into town on the interstate. I got me a steel train in the rain, and the wind bites my cheek to the wing. Late nights and freeway flying always makes me sing. It always makes me sing.
That was one of the coolest baton carriers from the beat era, musician, writer, and actor, Tom Waits with Diamonds on My Windshield. And one of the best descriptions of his voice goes like this. It sounds like it was soaked in a vat of bourbon, left hanging in the smokehouse for a few months, and then taken outside and run over with a car. Oh, man, that is accurate. So the word beat was primarily in use after World War II by jazz musicians and hustlers as a slang term meaning down and out, or poor and exhausted. Kerouac went on to twist the meaning of the term beat to serve his own purposes, explaining that it meant beatitude, not beat up. You feel this. You feel it in a beat, and jazz, real cool jazz. Very nice. Here's Jack again getting his kicks on with October and Railroad Earth. And John, let's have that riff.
You got it.
There was a little alley in San Francisco, back of the Southern Pacific Station at 3rd and Townsend. In red brick of drowsy, lazy afternoons with everybody at work and offices, in the air you feel the impending rush of their commuter frenzy. As soon they'll be charging en masse from Market and Sansom buildings on foot and in buses and all well-dressed through working man Frisco of walk-up truck drivers. And even the poor grime-bemarked 3rd Street of lost bums, even Negroes so hopeless and long left east and meanings of responsibility and try, that now all they do is stand there spitting in the broken glass, sometimes 50 in one afternoon against one wall at 3rd and Howard. It is all these Milbrae and San Carlos neat-necktied producers and commuters of America and steel civilization rushing by with San Francisco Chronicles and green call bulletins, not even enough time to be disdainful. They've got to catch 130, 132, 134, 136, all the way up to 146. Till the time of evening supper in homes of the railroad earth, when high in the sky the magic stars ride above the following hotshot freight trains. It's all in California. It's all a sea. I swim out of it in afternoons of sun-hot meditation in my jeans with head on handkerchief on brakeman's lantern, or if not working, on book. I look up at blue sky of perfect lost purity and feel the warp of wood of old America beneath me. And I have insane conversations with Negroes in second story windows above, and everything is pouring in. The switching moves of boxcars in that little alley, which is so much like the alleys of Lowell, and I hear far off in the sense of coming night that engine calling our mountains. But it was that beautiful cut of clouds I could always see above the little SP alley. Puffs floating by from Oakland, or the gate of Marin to the north, or San Jose south. The clarity of Cal to break your heart. It was the fantastic drowse and drum hum of lum mum afternoon, nothing to do. Old Frisco with end of land sadness. The people, the alley full of trucks and cars of businesses nearabouts. Nobody knew or far from cared who I was all my life, 3,500 miles from birth, all opened up and at last belonged to me in great America. And now it's night in Third Street. The keen little neons and also yellow bulb lights of impossible-to-believe flops. The dark, ruined shadows moving back of torn yellow shades like a degenerate China with no money. The cats in Annie's alley. The flop comes on, moans, rolls. The street is loaded with darkness. Blue sky above with stars hanging high over old hotel roofs and blowers of hotels mooning out dusts of interior. The grime inside the word in mouths falling out tooth by tooth. The reading rooms tick-tock big clock with creak chair and slant boards and old faces looking up over rimless spectacles bought in some West Virginia or Florida or Liverpool, England pawn shop long before I was born. And across rains they've come to the end of the land sadness, end of the world gladness. All your San Francisco will have to fall eventually and burn again. But I'm walking, and one night, a bum fell into the hole of the construction job where they're tearing a sewer by day. The husky Pacific and electric youths in torn jeans who work there, often I think of going up to some of them, like, say, blonde ones with wild hair and torn shirts, and they say, you ought to apply for the railroad. It's much easier work. You don't stand around the street all day, and you get much more pay. But this bum fell in the hole. You saw his foot stick out. British MG, also driven by some eccentric, once backed into that hole, and as I came home from a long Saturday afternoon local to Hollister out of San Jose, miles away across verdurous fields of prune and juice joy, here's this British MG backed and legs up, wheels up into a pit, and bums and cops standing right outside the coffee shop. It was the way they fenced it, but he never had the nerve to do it due to the fact that he had no money and nowhere to go, and oh, his father was dead, and oh, his mother was dead, and oh, his sister was dead, and oh, his whereabout was dead. But and then at that time also, I used to lay in my room on long Saturday afternoons listening to Jumpin' George with my fifth of Tokay, no tea, and just under the sheets laugh to hear the crazy music. Mama, he treats your daughter mean. Mama, Papa, don't you come in here, I'll kill you, etc. Getting high by myself in room glooms, and all wondrous knowing about the Negro, the essential American, out there, always finding his solace, his meaning in the fellaheen street. And not an abstract morality. And even when he has a church, you see the pastor out front bowing to the ladies on the make. You hear his great vibrant voice on the Sunday afternoon sidewalk full of sexual vibratos saying, why, yes, ma'am, but the gospel do say that man was born of woman's womb. No, and so, by that time I come crawling out of my warm sack and hit the street when I see the railroad ain't gonna call me till 5 a.m. Sunday morning, probably. For a local out of Bay Shore, in fact, always for a local out of Bay Shore. And I go to the whale bar of all the wild bars in the world, the one and only Third and Howard. And there I go in and drink with the madmen, and if I get drunk, I get. The girl who come up to me in there one night, I was there with Al Buckle, said to me, you want to play with me tonight, Jim? And I didn't think I had enough money. And I told this to Charlie Lowe, and he laughed, said, how do you know she wanted money? Always take the chance that she might be out just for love, or just out for love, you know what I mean. Don't be a sucker. She was a good-looking doll. She said, how would you like to ooh your coo with me, mon? And I stood there like a jerk. In fact, bought drink, got drink drunk that night, and in the 299 club, I was hit by the proprietor, the band breaking up the fight, before I had a chance to decide to hit him back, which I didn't want to do anyway. And out on the street, I tried to rush back in, but they had locked the door and were looking at me through the forbidden glass in the door with faces like undersea. I should have played with her shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-ka-dookie.
We're all going to go to heaven.
We are?
All of us.
Me too?
Everything, even the microphone.
I like that.
You too.
Okay.
And your cigar.
And in between those two tunes was Jack Kerouac telling us all that everything is going to be all right. That was one of the greatest jazz cats ever, a wigged out hipster with the cheeks and bravado to back it up. Mr. Dizzy Gillespie with the song Oop Bop Shabam. So the beat authors borrowed many of the terms from the jazz hipster slang of the 40s, peppering their works with words such as square, cats, nowhere, and dig. But jazz meant so much more than just a vocabulary to the beat writers. To them, jazz was a way of life, a completely different way to approach the creative process. Amen. And we're going to dig into some of more of that sweet bravado of the beat era with a Harlem Renaissance hero. Here's Langston Hughes with a music-rich tune called Blues Montage. Thank you.
sun's a setting. This is what I'm gonna sing. The sun's a setting. This is what I'm gonna sing. I feel the blues are coming. Wonder what the blues will bring. I got those sad old weary blues. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. Nobody cares about you when you sink so low. What shall I do? What shall I say? Shall I take a gun and put myself away? I wonder if one bullet would do. As hard as my head is, it would probably take two. But I ain't got neither bullet nor gun, and I'm too blue to look for one. Madam could look in your hand, never seen you before, and tell you more than you'd want to know. She could tell you about love and money and such, and she wouldn't charge you much. A fella came by one day, madam took him in. She treated him like he was her kin. Gave him money to gamble, she gave him bread. She let him sleep in her walnut bed. Friends tried to tell her Dave meant her no good. Looks like she could have knowed it if she only would. He mistreated her terrible, beat her up bad, then went off and left her, stole all she had. She tried to find out what road he took. There wasn't a trace, no way she looked. That woman, who could foresee what your future meant, couldn't tell to save her where Dave went.
Hello, I'm Hubert Laws, and I invite you to continue elevating your spirit and cognition with listening to Neon Jazz with Joe Dimino.
I didn't want it. You wanted it. Now you've got it. You don't like it. You can't get out of it now. Diapers to wash. Too poor for the movies. Too tired to love. There's nothing we can do. Hot stenographers on the subway. The grocery boy's got a big one. We can't do anything about it. You're only young once. You've got to die when your time comes. That's how it is. Nobody can change it.
in big cars, whistle, freight trains moan in the night. We can't get away with it. That's the way life is. Everybody is in the same fix. It will never be any different.
Was American poet Kenneth Rexroth with Married Blues. Kenneth was a major figure in the San Francisco Renaissance and paved the groundwork for the beat movement. He didn't like it, but he was dubbed the father of the beats by Time magazine. His lore as a beat was cemented as a character Reinhold in Jack Kerouac's novel The Dharma Bombs. So the original Beat Generation writers met in New York and later migrated to San Francisco to make the Renaissance there. From there, elements of their expanding beat movement were incorporated into the hippie counterculture. And here we go into yet another key jazz cat laying the framework for hip sounds and the beat movement. Kansas City-born and New York City transplant, Charlie Yardbird Parker with the tune Cosmic Rays.
Try to be a good beatnik, but it's hard. I mean, like, I don't dig turtleneck sweaters, I can't grow a beard, and I catch cold in sandals.
but I got a pad with a torn Picasso poster on the wall, and a dirty red tablecloth, and an autographed picture of Diane Varsi, and all the Lenny Bruce records. I even bought a book on Zen. And if you come home with me, I'll give you a cheese sandwich and wine in a cracked porcelain cup. Oh, my white bucks gave me away. The weekend was a bust. Everywhere soldiers, in a roadside tavern, in the theaters and depots, along the city streets. I even saw a soldier passed out in the park beside a statue of Thomas Jefferson. Monterey's a soldier town, with soldier talk and soldier ways, and only soldier faces everywhere. They line the bars and crowd the theaters and fill the arcades to overflowing. Even St. Patrick's Church does a good business. And when the bar is closed, the arcade shut for the evening, and the church supper over, they all go away, hailing taxicabs, journeying to late cafes or distant rooms, where rumpled uniforms fall to the floor, and friendly women do their part to make the evening end the way it should. Only the sailor, playing with himself in the arcade, is sad. No more dimes to see the smiling women. Like a few of the folk song kiddies got together and wanted you to have this brand new plastic sealed album by Francis Fay. Wear it out in good health.
That was poet, songwriter, composer, and singer Rod McEwen with No Pictures Please as another way gone selection off the Rhino Records 1992 box set called The Beat Generation. He was one of the best-selling poets in the U.S. during the late 60s. As the beat movement was getting underway, bebop was already going strong, especially in New York City, where 52nd Street was bustling and activity in jazz clubs up and down its length were going crazy. Kerouac, Ginsberg, and many of their friends spent a lot of time in New York clubs, shooting the breeze and digging the music. Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, and Miles Davis rapidly became what Allen Ginsberg dubbed the secret heroes to this group, and for good reason. Our next duo on the show is a definition of beat. The great Sonny Rollins with Babs Gonzalez. Here's Professor Bop.
There's a cat in Harlem town. Got a new craze going round. Oop-a-dop-la, hit your bop. Call Professor Bop. Wears a tam and big bow tie. Flashy clothes that catch your eye. Oop-a-dop-lop, Kluger mop. He's Professor Bop. He's the latest thing derived from swing. La-pop-a-hoo-ya-coo. See him everywhere, hear him on the air. He can do it, so can you. Take a song like Auld Lang Syne. Then you add a bebop line. Oop-a-dop-lop, Kluger mop. Like Professor Bop. Swing, la papa hulia coo. See him everywhere, hear him on. on the air. He can do it, so can you. Take a song like Auld Lang Syne, then you add a bebop line, oopie-dop-lock, Kluger-mop, like Professor Bob.
This is Neon Jazz with Joe Dino.
Take this crazy pad, man, it's a mad pad. Blue suede drapes, wall-to-wall television. Alpaca lampshades, plaid light bulbs. Overstuffed couch with feathers from Birdland. Stereophonic telephone. Man, dig this crazy pad.
We are channeling our way towards the end of this hipster look into the Beats with the tune Cookies Mad Pad, featuring the great 77 Sunset Strip actor Ed Burns. This is a jazz-rich tune. But banging our way out of this Beat Hour is what I would consider two of the finest from any era or the 50s. Jerry Mulligan and Lee Konitz with the 1953 song Bernie's Tune.
Would we be beating our way out of this bang hour, or was it the other way around?
We would be rocketing our way out of this banging hour. Thanks again for tuning into a show featuring one of America's finest inventions, jazz. Thanks to my good friend, show engineer, and a crazy hipster in flat orbit that makes all the radios in KC go ape. The Neon Beats, Mr. John Christopher.
Hey, like, you know, it's cool, man.
Yeah, man. Talk to us about our show, as Paul Morris did. He gave us the suggestion for this show, and we thank him very much. We hope we did him proud. You can reach us at neonjazzkc@gmail.com. We would dig it the most, man. Until next time, enjoy the music, my friends.
Woohoo!
threw into
great
that.
Creative,
yeah.
Including Socrates.
Yeah, Socrates. Who else? My God. Julius Caesar. Lycurgus, the head of Sparta. I knew them all.
Neon Jazz.